Hello and welcome once again to the Solution Series. I'm your host, James White, and I am joined by Corey Lynn. The Solution Series is brought to you by Solari.com and Corey'sDigs.com. Corey, great to have you here on board again. Great to do another Solution Series. We have a great guest today.
It's great to be here. I'm really excited about this.
Indeed. And I'm going to give our great guest a brief introduction. We are joined by Sheriff Richard Mack. He's an author, speaker, and former sheriff. He has served in a wide variety of roles over the course of nearly a 20-year career in law enforcement, which began in Provo, Utah. Sheriff Richard Mack, thanks so much for joining us here on the Solution Series.
Well, thanks, Jim. And actually, when you mentioned Provo, Utah, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but it's a great way to maybe start this whole program today. After I lost my third election as sheriff of Graham County in Arizona, I served 8 years, two terms. And the reason I lost was my big calling card, and that is I sued the federal government. But it became so controversial in my small town that people didn't really like it anymore. Even the people really into gun rights, which is what we were trying to protect with our lawsuit, against the federal government, against the Clintons. You would think that everybody in my county would be thrilled that I was suing Bill Clinton. But anyway, I didn't win at the Supreme Court until about 10 months after the election. And people were just saying, hey, we don't want an activist. We just want a sheriff. So actually, I moved back to Provo in 1997 and ran for Utah County Sheriff. And Utah County, being one of the most conservative counties back at the time, I thought it would be a perfect fit. That here I just beat the federal government at the United States Supreme Court. I beat the Clintons and lived to tell about it. It was such a miracle.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
I thought people would love it. Well, it looked like they did, because I won the Utah County Convention 2-1 over my two opponents, including the incumbent. The incumbent and I went to the primary, which was June 8th. I beat the federal government. The Supreme Court decision came out June 27, 1997. 1 year later, almost to the day, the FBI raids my office 3 days before the election.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And then the Provo Daily Herald, the newspaper, you couldn't get a bigger headline if you had to. The FBI must have paid real handsomely for this headline. Mac raided by the FBI. It was done on the date that could do my campaign the maximum damage without me having time to really respond. And in every public event, in every newspaper article, including myself and my opponent, we always said, every time we were asked, we both said the same thing. The election was going to be extremely close. Well, it wasn't. And I got beat really bad, and appeared that I lost all of the undecided vote, plus a few more that were kind of hesitating on my side. They left, and I lost badly. And then this is the kicker here, Jim and Corey. I never heard from them again. I never got interviewed, never went before a judge, never went before a grand jury, never was indicted, never even said boo to me about anything regarding charges on this case.
100% political.
It just yeah. So happened that I was a consultant for a guy who this was all aimed at. But for some reason, they added my name to the search warrant. And then he didn't get the headline. I got the headline.
Well, that's an interesting story. I haven't heard that one yet, Sheriff. But, you know, here's the good news. The good news is, as the buffer against the FBI and a lot of these other out-of-control agencies is the sheriff. And yeah. You are, of course, the founder and the president of the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Sheriff and Police Officers and Peace Officers Association. Tell us, if you can, a little bit, it's for a foundation, tell us a little bit about that group. It's done some great things, because we're going to move right into, after that, working with the sheriff, connecting with the sheriff, you know, establishing a relationship with the sheriff. I think in the pre-interview, we talked about maybe drive-alongs. Is that something that you would want to go to the sheriff and ask about? So let's just do this, if we can, Sheriff. Just give us the a little bit of a brief background on the CSPOA, and then we're going to go right into the solution portions of the program.
Well, the CSPOA was born out of my lawsuit, because the lawsuit, the ruling from the United States Supreme Court, written by Justice Scalia, explained the importance of federalism, the division of power between the states and the federal government. And that's exactly what the solution is today. Exercise state sovereignty, exercise local autonomy, and make sure, bottom line, that no one is violating the rights of the people. The CSPOA says this: sheriffs and peace officers must know and understand what the rights of the people are in order to actually protect those rights. So I don't understand why there's pushback from sheriffs and other public officials that just simply don't want to keep their oath of office. All you have to do for this main solution, for this solution for liberty and to restore our Constitution today, and make the federal government's corruption irrelevant in the lives of our citizens, is for sheriffs to do what they already promised to do when they took their oath of office. The key is, will you keep your oath?
Well, you know, Sheriff, the men and women of a county, when they back a sheriff and they let the sheriff know this is what they want, the sheriff, I believe, will do what the people of the county want. A lot of sheriffs are afraid to step out and take that constitutional step, if you will, because they're afraid they're going to be ostracized. They're afraid they're going to be canceled and a variety of other things. But how important
is it? They might get bad press.
Yeah, right.
Oh no.
Well, but if they have the men and women in their back pocket, so to speak, well, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean like supporting them and holding them up, then that is probably the first step, I would think, Sheriff, to reaching out to your sheriff. Maybe
but
not.
But there's also safety in numbers. And so if there's 1,000 sheriffs doing that, it's not going to matter, because it's all going to be vogue. It's going to be accepted. But when it's only 5 or 6 or 25 or 50 sheriffs doing it, they'll say, oh, no, they're not supposed to be doing that. Why? Because they've never done that before.
Right. Well, right. See, my number one question is, what is the best way? You know, if some people don't even know who their sheriffs are, or they're just now looking it up and they're figuring it out. And
right.
And so what is the best way? Do they want, as far as contacting their sheriff to talk to them? Is that more of a one-on-one thing? Is it better to have a group of people, to have a meeting, to ask them to, you know, to come sit down? What's the least intimidating and most productive way of going about it?
Well, actually, you described all the alternatives that we suggest. If you and a couple of people in your group, an organization, maybe you represent 3 different organizations or several. And so 2 or 3 of you go in and say, hey, we'd really like to have a meeting with you. Well, his secretary is going to say, what's that about?
Right.
Okay. Well, it's about our concerns of the federal government coming in and confiscating guns, what Biden has promised to do. And then when I was on with CNN, she goes, Biden never said that. I said, how else is he going to take everybody's AR-15 and AK-47 from them? How else are they going to get them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yes, I haven't heard Biden say, we're coming door to door. But he did say emphatically, we are coming to get them.
Right.
So, you know, so of course there's going to be door to door programs to do that. Maybe there'll just be a huge buyback at the county fair, you know, and everybody's just going to come and bring them in. You know, I suggest that you stop by the sheriff's office and tell his secretary or assistant you'd like to come back. You'd like to make an appointment and come back with two of your friends and have a sit down with him about all of your concerns for peace and safety and crime detection, and that you want to support the sheriff in what he's doing. Always be very positive about it. Bring some cookies with you. And I'm not kidding about that. I don't know a police department or sheriff's office that doesn't like cookies on the front desk.
Right.
In the briefing room or wherever, the cops walk a lot. They won't last very long. Just put them in dispatch, you know. But I wouldn't suggest trying to meet with, you know, 30, 40, 50 people the first time. You
right.
could go alone, but you want to have some credentials that say, I represent this group. I represent the Arizona chapter of Gun Owners of America or whatever, or that you're with the NRA or that you're just with a freedom organization, or Right to Life group, or whatever it is. Doesn't matter.
Right.
But you just don't want to say, well, I just represent me and I want to know. He will pay attention to numbers. And even if you started a calling tree where a lot of you start calling the sheriff's office because you heard of a horrible thing happening in your county or something going wrong in your state, and you want to know what the sheriff feels. If he gets 15 calls, he's going to say he's getting dozens and dozens of calls. Depending on the situation, you could use that. But go meet with him. I'm telling you right now, the solution is that the people in his county, his or her county, we have about 18 female sheriffs in America, his or her county, is that he hear from you and that you have a relationship with him and that you get to know and understand his powers and his duties. And you can do that by reading my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And you should get become very familiar with my Supreme Court case. And we have those little pocket-sized reviews of my case on my website, also cspoa.org. All of you must be educated as to what your sheriff's duties are and his powers. And this is really key to all of this. Your sheriff only reports to the people of his county. He has no other supervisor. He has no other boss. He doesn't report to a committee. He reports to the people, not just the voters. He reports to the people of that county. And that actually describes his power, because he reports directly to the power source. And that also describes what makes us a constitutional republic, that we, the people in our republic, are the greatest power, and we bestow those powers upon the sheriff, and he reports back to us. So going and meeting with him is all in line with the system of our constitutional republic.
I can't go ahead, Corey.
No, I was just going to say two things, really. At what point, when you're sitting down with your sheriff, one thing is, I would assume you would want to build this relationship and have kind of ongoing get-togethers. So I want to know what you recommend with that. And then also, as far as at what point do you bring up CSPOA that you think it would be great for them to get involved with this and have this, you know, support system?
You'll need to measure that and gauge that as you go on.
Mm-hmm.
You could even take him a copy of my Supreme Court decision, you know, even on the first day. So we're very familiar. We're members. You could even say we're members of the CSPOA. We're on the CSPOA posse. That's always good to say. And then you hand him, you know, did you know that seven sheriffs back in 1997 won a case at the U.S. Supreme Court? The only time in history where that has ever happened, where a sheriff won at the U.S. Supreme Court against the federal government.
That's awesome.
And against the overreach of the federal government. That's what the case was about. Federal overreach and how we can stop it.
It was you and
so
a sheriff from Montana.
Whole show is about.
It was you and a sheriff from Montana, right? Wasn't there a sheriff in Montana that was with you?
Sheriff Jay Prince from Montana
There you
and
go.
I ended up at the Supreme Court together, but there ultimately seven sheriffs did the lawsuit. There was two of us. They ended up at the Supreme Court, and that was myself and Jay Prince, which was kind of appropriate because I was the first to file, and Jay Prince was the second from Ravalli County, Hamilton, Montana. And I still keep in touch with Jay a little bit. He never ran with this case too much. I really have kept it going and make sure that the sheriffs know about it. So training a sheriff and talking to a sheriff about the only time sheriffs won at the U.S. Supreme Court is a natural flow to all of this. And for him to say, no, I don't want to know anything about that. That's pretty narrow-minded because I'm telling you, if I was a sheriff, which I was, I would be clamoring, I would be running to find out what this case was about.
Right.
It's our job to know what this thing is about, especially when you know and understand that it's called the anti-commandeering case. In other words, the federal government cannot commandeer sheriffs for federal bidding. But it went much further than that. And let me tell every one of you, it is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision, local sovereignty decision in the history of America. Every sheriff would want to hear about that.
And so as far as the relationship goes, what do you recommend with, is this something where you want to try to get together and meet once a month
Yeah.
and
Well, definitely the meeting. So then you could say, well, we want to have Sheriff Matt come here and do his constitutional training. Would you be willing to attend? And we'll make all the arrangements and we want you there. And maybe we could invite a few other neighboring county sheriffs. If he
Right.
says yes to that, we're on our way. That is fantastic. And look, no one is going to be able to do this if you're not educated. And so we just really focus on the oath of office and the Supreme Court case. And it's not a dangerous thing to anyone. And that some of the sheriffs get scared of this because there's going to be some newspaper in Montana or maybe the New York Times, which is about ready to do a hit piece on me within the next few days. You really care about CNN and the New York Times and some liberal hack socialist newspaper in Montana or wherever you are. There's going to be bad press everywhere. You're going to let them control how you react with your citizens in defending their rights. So I really like Sheriff Williams in Texas. He didn't really want to come to our convention. And one of his constituents asked him just to go check it out. Find out for yourself. Find out if Mac is the Antichrist, like you can read on the internet, or find out if this guy really is a true American patriot that sued the federal government and won. Wouldn't you want to find out what that is? So Sheriff Williams decided to go to the training. He decided to go to the conference, the CSPOA conference in Texas, just almost 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years this February. And you know what? He's on our board now. He goes to every one of our conferences. He's on our panel discussions. He said this was the best training he had ever been to. Of all the police training he's ever been to in his 25-year career, this was the best training he's ever been to. There's other sheriffs that are saying the same thing. If you will take the time and be a little bit humble and open to this idea that maybe the sheriffs who sued the federal government and won have a message for us. And the message is one of putting liberty first in the execution of our jobs. That hurts no one.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Absolutely
Yeah, no
fantastic.
kidding.
How
No kidding.
you could do monthly meetings with him, and but if he will do the training, the
Right.
CSPOA training, I'm telling you're well on your way. Nobody can be in this training and leave it the same way.
So the people who meet with him, are they the ones who would then reach out to you, you know, become a member of CSPOA, obviously, sure. And then have access to your materials and whatnot. And I also noticed there was a vetting your sheriff form on your site too. And would they then reach out to you and say, hey, look, we have a sheriff here in our county. He's interested in doing the training, you know, and then you would work with the citizens to, you know, get that meeting going.
Yep. Absolutely. And we've got one coming up pretty soon. And let me tell you, they're deciding, well, should we just have all the public come and the sheriffs and peace officers and chiefs of police and whatnot? That's really up to them. And make sure that you let the sheriff know. Do you want just a one-on-one with the sheriff, with your department, with Sheriff Mack and your department, or invite other sheriffs and just have the sheriffs and chiefs and peace officers and public officials, county commissioners, mayors, city council, they're all welcome. And then have a public meeting where everybody can come. We've done them both ways.
Sheriff,
sheriffs are learning with the citizens.
Let me interject for a second, Sheriff. And this is a case where the sheriffs, they have to have continuing education credits every year. Like, they have to have these classes. They have to take them from someone or somewhere. Somebody's got to provide these classes for them. Why not have it be a constitutional class? Push them towards something like that. Is that accurate?
Yes, and we've already had 10 states that have certified it as ongoing education for law enforcement certification. So yes, it's natural. In fact, we did it when we did it in Texas, and we had that meeting, our conference meeting. TCLO, the Texas Certification Law Enforcement Brother, whatever it is that certifies law enforcement training, they had already done that. So they sent a couple of spies to our meeting just to check it out. And they've defended what we're teaching. They said, there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing going on, because there's news agencies like Daily Beast and Politico and Washington Post and New York Times that are trying to label us as racists and white supremacists. There is nothing going on even close to that. And that's ridiculous. I do find that offensive, but not from those idiots. I don't, when an idiot makes fun of somebody or accuses them of something, I don't take offense. You know, because they're stupid anyway, so why would I care? But there's really some smart people that I care about that buy into this sometime. And I really care that sheriffs read that stuff and then they want to back off. So don't let those leftist socialist news agencies control what you do. Because first of all, I am pro-law enforcement. I am a pro-sheriff. And I'm also own a victory at the United States Supreme Court that I started. The NRA didn't start this. I got a question from a newspaper reporter this morning. Well, you sheriffs that did this just joined the NRA in their lawsuit. And I said, if you read my Supreme Court case, you'll not see the NRA mentioned anywhere. It was not their case. I called the NRA and asked them for help with this case. Even then, I still hired my own lawyer. And so we worked with the NRA because they provided the funding for most of this case, and they provided lawyers. And so this was the sheriffs of this country, albeit only seven of us. Boy, what's the percentage of seven out of 3,100? So, you know, anyway, but you got to start somewhere. And I was really always surprised that more sheriffs didn't join the lawsuit, because this was for sheriffs nationwide being commandeered by the federal government. I will say, though, there were a few sheriffs in America that just refused to go along, even though they were threatened with jail time for not going along. So, look, this is historic. This has never been more important that we have sheriffs standing against tyranny and cruelty and the bullying of Washington, D.C. politicians. It's time to take a stand, and we already have everything handed to you on a silver platter, the Supreme Court case and all the documentation that, yes, Sheriff, we want you to understand your role in protecting liberty in our constitutional republic.
Sheriff,
what kind of growth have you seen in the last couple of years as far as citizens and sheriffs getting involved? I'm curious.
It's the most we've ever had. The pandemic mandates really got people looking for solutions. And so, and I'm going to tell you, you both of you can correct me, but I don't see another peaceful and effective solution equal to what we're doing at the CSPOA. I'm not trying to blow my own horn, and I'm not trying to blow CSPOA's horn. All I'm saying is I've looked at all the solutions, supposed solutions out there. And don't get me wrong, we still need your show. We still need the support of good media like yours, Jim, which I've been on your show dozens of times. And we still need Gun Owners of America and the NRA and Second Amendment Foundation and so on and so forth. But as far as boots on the ground, providing a legitimate, lawful, effective solution, the last line of defense is your sheriff. The last line in the sand is your sheriff. Is he going to work for you? Is he going to protect and serve? Is he going to uphold and defend? Will he interpose and intervene on your behalf to defend you from other government? And folks, this is a peaceful process. We've seen it happen. I've done it, not with my lawsuit. I defended Graham County when I was sheriff against the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA. They left town because of it. No one is firing shots. No one's threatening violence here. We are interposing. We are simply a check and balance. And we go up to the IRS and say, what are you doing in my county? No, you're not going to do that in my county. Not as long as I am sheriff. You're not doing that here. That's all there is to it.
Since you brought up the IRS, I'm curious with, you know, everyone's explain yes. to us how that works. If they start knocking on doors, what can the sheriff do there?
Well, there was one just recently. There was a great example of a deputy sheriff. He got called from a citizen, and I don't remember where it was. But anyway, this kind of went viral on the internet a couple of weeks ago. An agent of the BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms from Washington, D.C., is going on knocking on a guy's door wanting to check his gun ownership records. And the citizen would not allow him in. Luckily, the guy didn't kick in the door. That was about as stupid as they get sometimes. And the citizen called the sheriff's office. A deputy came. And he literally drew down on the BATF agent because the BATF agent would not follow orders.
Wow.
And he finally got the BATF agent down on the ground. They checked everything out, and they told him to get lost. They said, you don't have business here. And look, I think it could have been handled a lot better, especially if the BATF agent had cooperated a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's exactly what we want. Maybe you don't need to draw down on him. But the agent, he just kept disobeying the deputy's orders. So that's going to happen. But folks, it was living proof that we check on them. They don't check on us. They need our permission to exist.
Do they know this, Sheriff? Do you think that most of these BATF agents,
no.
they know that?
No, they don't.
Right. So
the
they have
IRS,
to be educated.
The BATF, the FBI, we already had a sheriff in a different county in Florida said he would not have allowed that search to take place in his county on President Trump. But that's a different county. That was actually Sheriff Lemma. And so this whole thing of being a check and balance on federal overreach, the federal government, you know what? Let's make this very clear. The federal government believes that they are the only check and balance on their own authority, that they are the only ones who can determine how far their authority goes. And no, that is not right. They think they can do anything, but it's time for sheriffs to stand. And like I said before, if there was ever a time in American history where we need sheriffs standing and being the ultimate check and balance on federal authority and protecting citizens' rights, it is now. And that's what we're about. Again, this is a peaceful process, and that's how we intend to keep it. But believe me, we will have sheriffs stand in the way and not allow this abuse to occur, and especially against these IRS agents who think that they can come in and run roughshod over the rights of the people. It's time we put the IRS in its place.
So let me ask you this real quick, and this may be a silly question, I don't know. We're in odd times right now. So let's say all of a sudden IRS shows up or FBI shows up at your door and they're knocking on your door. Can you just refuse them to come in and contact your sheriff if your sheriff's on board and say, hey, look, these guys are at my door. Can you get over here and help me out? Yeah. I mean, what's the best way to handle
exactly
that?
Exactly what you should do. And you really hope you have a sheriff that will come and make sure that everything is copacetic. If they have a search warrant or an arrest warrant, they will probably come in anyway.
Right.
If they don't have that kind of paperwork, then you need to refuse and say, no, you're not welcome to come in here. You can ask through the door. Do not open the door. You can ask through the door. Can I see your warrant? Can I see your identification? If they show identification or not, that's up to you if you open the door. If they don't have a warrant, you don't have to open anything. And as a matter of fact, you can say, look, I wish to cooperate, but I'm going to call the sheriff's office right now just to make sure because I'm not trusting this. Okay, so just give me a minute. I'm not running. Okay, I'm going to get on my cell phone right here. You can keep an eye on me and call the sheriff's office and say, I have to tell the sheriff or whoever answers, you'll get a dispatcher or secretary and say, hey, I need a sergeant or sheriff or somebody to come over here because I've got federal agents who claim to be federal agents at my door, and I'm not trusting this. Please send a deputy immediately.
Sheriff, let me ask you this. If they do show a warrant, with as trigger happy as some of these guys are and the stuff that happens, you've seen them on the news, is it best if they do have a warrant and they produce one that looks like it's been signed by a judge? Is cooperation at that point probably the wisest thing
like
to do?
Like I said, if they'll still give you time to call, do so. You know, so if they say, well, we're breaking in anyway, then you might as well let them in. But then call. Be on your phone. Say, hey, I don't know what's going on here. They say they want to check out my guns or they want to check out this. Please send me a deputy. Please send me the sheriff. Please get somebody here because I'm not trusting any of this. I'm not a criminal. I haven't done anything wrong. And this is just government overreach. Please send somebody here.
And court precedent has been set that you can record that too. You are allowed to record that. They cannot prohibit you from recording that encounter. Is that accurate as far as you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And do so. But I don't want you to do anything that's going to put you in danger. But at the same time, get on that phone and get a sheriff there. Will they always send one? No.
Yeah.
There's always some sheriff that will say, oh, that's federal government. They have jurisdiction nationwide. Answer this one question. Ultimately, sheriff, who is the ultimate law enforcement officer in your county? If you abdicate that to the federal government, then you are wrong, and that is malfeasance.
Yep.
And you are throwing your citizens to the wolves, and you just turned your back on the citizens you promised to protect.
Well, that brings up my next question. It's a nice segue into the next one. The sheriff can't be in every place. It's not a bad idea to have some sort of a neighborhood watch, a sheriff's posse, some sort of a group of folks. in case you come across a sheriff, you know, because sheriffs can be elected and be knocked out of office. But if you have a cohesive group in the neighborhood, they're going to continue to stay whether the sheriff is there or not. So what do you think, Sheriff? Do you encourage your sheriff to get a sheriff's posse? Do you just have your own meetup? Because, you know, you want to do it. You don't want the sheriff to feel threatened. You don't want to feel like you're rising up a force to come against them. You want to work with them. So what is the best groups, do you think, to work with the sheriff that's not threatening to the sheriff?
Well, you leave that up to the sheriff. You tell the sheriff, hey, do you have a posse? There's lots of us that want to be on the posse. If you don't have a posse, we'd love to be a part of forming it. And the sheriff might say, well, what do you intend to do with that? And you say this, whatever you would like us to, Sheriff, you can just leave us here and get us trained to back you up on any emergency, on natural disasters or bad weather. Or if the grid goes down, we can go around checking on the elderly, checking on anybody who needs our help. We can respond with shortwave radios, ham radios. We can help you with communications. We can help you with traffic control. We can help you at parades and fairs, for heaven's sakes. It's however the sheriff wants. And he can train you to whatever level he wants. Again, that hurts no one. You can get trained enough to where you're actually certified in firearms training, where you can actually be a backup to an officer. Like in rural counties and like in Montana and Arizona, we actually proceeded with this with our posse, that there's a backup unit inside the deputy's patrol car, for heaven's sakes. Because you could be an officer in my county could have been 30-40 minutes away from a backup unit. But if you're having a ride-along program, people, former law enforcement, former military, or people who just want to learn and get to know what's up and get certified in firearms, that's a training the sheriff's office can provide. And now you have backup immediately for an officer who's out on a call 40 miles away from the backup unit. So all of this provides safety for each other. And it's a benefit to the people and to the sheriff's office and to the deputies. So yes, any way the sheriff wants to utilize that, and that's what you need to tell him. Sheriff, we are an immediate resource for you to utilize however you want.
That's important. Good information there. Now, what about with the elections coming up?
By the way, yes. And a neighborhood watch group? Absolutely. Because when that federal agent is not showing you like some real solid ID and he's dressed up in a t-shirt or something and you're not quite trusting it, just simply say, okay, call your neighbor. You didn't get any help from the sheriff's office. You called the 911, say, please send somebody over. Oh, we're not going to. Besides, you're in the city limit. We'll have to call the police department and we'll ask them if they'll send you somebody. Call your neighbor, ask them to stand outside and have them start filming for you. But get two or three neighbors there. They probably won't be allowed in your house. But if you have somebody else in your house, have them recording everything while you're talking on the phone with the 911 dispatcher.
And do you think you should probably...
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. Corey can pick it up. Should you call it a non-armed neighborhood watch group, even though you, like in Montana, you can have open carry. We're constitutional carry here. So you just don't...
You don't need to call it anything.
Okay.
Just call it your neighborhood watch.
Okay.
How you proceed on anything like that, look, just like you say, you have a right to keep and bear arms, man, however you feel comfortable with that. I wouldn't approach that situation with open carry. You know, you might not want to carry at all in that situation, but then again, you might. But at the same time, be careful, be smart, and non-aggressive. Tactful, and very careful, you know, how you proceed on something like that. But it looks like this sort of thing is going to be happening more and more, and the federal government is pushing the envelope on this. So again, do not forget, this is a peaceful process, and we will be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves in our approach.
You know, what about before actually asking about the elections coming up, what about people who might be located in, you know, some blue states who just they can't talk with their sheriffs very well? They can't convince them. You know, what do you recommend in a situation like that?
That's really a good question. And it's part of our ultimate goal in this is to have 1,000 sheriffs on board with keeping their oath, enforcing the Constitution, knowing and understanding our unalienable rights, and that they get this part right out of the Declaration of Independence, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So those 10 words are our motto in making sure that our rights are being protected and that the sheriff, all government, has that responsibility. We're not going to get all sheriffs. We're not. If we get 1,000, though, we're going to win. Even if we got a fourth, 700 or 800, we're going to win this. And right now, I would guesstimate that we have maybe 200, 300, between 250, 300 sheriffs that would be ready to do this right now. That's not enough. Yeah. There needs to be a third in every state. That means about 75, 80 in Texas. We're close to that in Texas right now. So, look, you're not going to get Boston. You're not going to get Philadelphia. You're not going to get Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. We might get San Diego if we can get Hemmerling elected there. But you're not going to get San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, Austin. It's not. So you're going to have to make a decision. Can you move to a neighboring county where there is maybe a rural sheriff or just a sheriff who believes in this stuff? The biggest county in Kansas, Johnson County, we have him, Sheriff Calvin Hayden, and he's investigating voter fraud, election fraud there. But he's the biggest county in Kansas. We're going to get some bigger counties. Sheriff Brad Rogers was a big county in Elkhart County, Indiana, 250,000 people. He was probably the best constitutional sheriff in America. Defended an Amish farmer from the FDA.
Yeah, he was great.
And U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, great job.
Folks, these things can happen. We have living proof that these things are happening. You're not going to get every sheriff. If you give your sheriff every opportunity to come on board the freedom train, great. If he refuses, you got a decision to make. Try to get a new sheriff there or move to a neighboring county where you can get a sheriff that will do his job.
You know, Sheriff, how about running for sheriff? Is that something? Because right here in Montana, you don't have to have any prior law enforcement experience to run for sheriff. I don't know if that's common across all of the states, but in Montana, you don't have to have any prior law enforcement experience at all.
There's about a third of the states that have that. Arizona was one. New Mexico's another. Montana's one. I do not agree with the states that require police certification to run for sheriff. I don't agree with it. Most states do have that now. But I will tell you this. Most voters will not vote for someone who does not.
Isn't it something?
Police experience.
What a bummer. What a bummer that is.
I know. But you would be great to run.
But, oh, gee whiz.
But like, if I moved to a neighboring county, if I moved back to Utah and tried to run now, I would not be allowed to run. I would not be allowed to run for sheriff in California. I guarantee you, you do not have candidates in Utah or California or some other places that have this that are more qualified to be sheriff than I. They don't. But because of those ridiculous rules, and most people call them incumbent protection laws. So I don't support them.
How quaint.
Don't believe them.
Incumbent protection laws.
Now, what do you recommend people do as far as activating for, you know, election integrity and with the elections coming up and everything?
Get it to your sheriff and get it to him right away. Any evidence that you have, or even that you've heard of, or you watched the movie 2000 Mules, which I highly recommend, ask your sheriff to watch it and then go back to him and say, now, what can we do to help you investigate this fraud? He says, I don't know how to investigate. I'm not a computer specialist. There's other ways to investigate numbers without being a computer specialist. Do the amount of people on your voters list match the amount of people who voted? That's something you could check right now. And you know what? There's people already checking that, and public officials are turning them into the FBI just for wanting to know the numbers. Yeah, that's how crazy this is. And so try to get your sheriff to initiate an investigation, then call us or call Mike Lindell's office or call True the Vote people, and you can start getting some specialist help on the computers or geo-tracking on iPhones and smartphones. There's a lot of help out there. The main thing is this is a crime of extreme magnitude against the stewardship that we, the people, have in selecting our own public officials. Tomorrow, I will be on Brighteon TV with Jim O'Connor, and he's a member of the Corporation Commission here in Arizona. He's already called for all 15 counties in Arizona to stop using computers in the upcoming election this November. And I'm going to have him on Brighteon TV tomorrow morning at 7. You're all welcome to join. It's going to be an amazing show. He's already calling for it. And folks, he's absolutely correct. You cannot guarantee the integrity of an election if you're still using computers. And I have not found one computer that is not hackable yet. And I'm not even a computer specialist. I don't even like IT stuff. You must get rid of computers, and you must get back to hand counting paper ballots. And those must also be verified and double checked.
Right. Absolutely.
Well put. Well put. How about, Sheriff, how about, you know, not only having meetings, but, you know, I've never been on one, but I've heard about ride-alongs. You can go on ride-alongs with your sheriff. Do they still do those ride-alongs? Is that something that every sheriff's department does? Is it like a nationwide kind of a program? Is it specific to the sheriff's department? Yeah. If they don't have it, can you request it? And if enough people request it? And what's the benefits and advantages of doing that?
First, it's a great public relation tool. You should always ask. Does the sheriff have to have this program? No. Are these programs available nationwide? Yes. Some sheriff's offices and police departments have gotten a little bit bashful about doing them. When I was a cop and when I was sheriff, we invited the public to do that. We want you to come and get to know our deputies. We want you to see what we're doing. We want you to be I took my brother-in-law once, and I even took him with me on a family fight. You know, sometimes you tell the person to stay in the car. No, come and see what's up, you know. So, again, that's up to the deputy. It's up to the sheriff. And, yes, you should absolutely get a ride-along program going in your county and your city.
So on your website, if someone was to become a member, what do you provide on there? Is it webinars and updates, recent news, or?
Every Wednesday we meet. Tomorrow, our webinar is at 10 o'clock Pacific time. So that would be Mountain time, that would be 11. Central time, it'd be noon. Eastern time, it'd be 1. So every Tuesday morning, we have the CSPOA Posse webinar. I don't ask sheriffs to join CSPOA. I ask every one of you to join CSPOA. Corey, Jim, I'm asking both of you to become a member of our CSPOA posse. You can see it. I'm asking everyone listening to this program, become a member. I don't want dues or monies or funding to get in between me and sheriffs. I want the sheriff to do one thing. Keep your oath. Learn your duty and come to our training, and you'll be able to do all three. Learn what this is all about. Have an open mind. Be humble enough to go to some training. That's all I want from a sheriff. You can't do this in ignorance. You can't do this without education. You can't do this without training. And let's get together and let's back each other up as we put the Constitution back as the supreme law of the land, and that we really understand our role in protecting liberty in our republic today. That's all I want. So the members are the citizens, and that's where we get our funding and our support. It's $11 a month or $99 a year. If you can't afford that, just sign up for our emails. Do something to be a part of this. But this is how the CSPOA is funded. You can make bigger donations. We would love that. But this is how we're funded. We the people joining and become a part of this solution.
And then is there a specific area where they go and to contact you? Is it by phone or email when they have, you know, a sheriff in their county that they're that's very interested? Is it pretty easy to get, you know, to contact y'all?
It's both. It's email or phone. And and sometimes I even give out my personal email on the webinars. Look, if you've got that many questions, email me, and then I give it out. And so my phone number, I've even given that out a few times. And I always add, make sure you have a legitimate question about this. Don't call and ask me about some foreign affairs issue, you know?
Right.
And so look, we're really trying hard to make ourselves available, because I believe this without any question. This is the only peaceful and effective solution we have left.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. This is by far one of the most, if not the most important one.
It is.
And we certainly appreciate all your hard work with this.
Thanks. You too.
Sheriff, and I can attest the fact I've known you for years. You have been on my show many times, and we've certainly spent time together. You were here in Kalispell, I think, last year. You're certainly no racist, or anything that they say about you is completely false. And I can tell you that from personal experience. It's preposterous to think that. And I just want to say that I certainly defend you against those allegations fully. So you know where I stand.
Thanks,
on that, Sheriff.
Sure. Well,
you're quite welcome. Well, folks, I think that's I don't know if we can cram much more information into that power-packed almost hour. I mean, folks, if you're not fired up to go out and talk to your sheriff now, and I just can't get that T-shirt out of my mind, Sheriff, go visit your sheriff with a plate of cookies on the front here. I mean, right now, what a great suggestion. Sheriff Mack, anything that you would like to say in closing here before we close out this interview?
Folks, be a part of the solution. There actually is a solution. It's legitimate. It's lawful. It's constitutional. And it's been tested at the U.S. Supreme Court. Folks, go to CSPOA.org and become a member of the effective and peaceful solution that we provide. Thanks so much.
Corey, any parting words that you'd like to say, my dear?
No, thank you. It was an honor to meet you finally. I've been following along with all the work you've been doing for a couple of years. So I was really excited to get you on and ask all these questions. And yeah, that was power packed. Lots of positive, good information. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Sheriff. Always great to have you on board, folks. And that's going to be the end of the podcast here, the Solution Series, brought to you by Solari.com and Corey'sDigs.com. We'll be back next time with another fantastic guest. Until next time, this is James White and Corey Lynn from Solution Series saying bye now.